Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
This morning, I want to preach on the coming world leader. He's just around the corner. I want you to understand, this old world doesn't understand what is going on. It's all been mapped out. All we have to do is fill in the blanks for our time frame here in this world. That's all we're called of God to do. There's a God in heaven that wrote down all that is going to happen. 30% of the Bible is prophecy. Go back, I call your attention back again to verse 9, chapter 46 in the book of Isaiah. Remember the former things of old. Let's not forget them. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Bible prophecy is just history, the history of man, pre-written. Isn't it exciting, the day and age in which we live? Amen. Man, I know I've said this several Sundays in a row now. I'd rather be alive right now than any other time in human history. What exciting days we live in. I rehearse some of the headlines. President Xi from China has called for an end to boundaries and all nations. One world government. Kings of the East. Nations are calling for a digital ID. Most of Europe is calling for that. Putin and Germany, Gog and Magog, are cozying up. They're buddying up. All together, they're going to be all together. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. That's going to take place, of course, during the tribulation. There is a call for a new world order. Enter the Antichrist. Things are being said in the news. They don't even understand they are prophesying, and they are. Key words are being used that weren't being used one decade ago. Words like globalism, new world order, ecumenicalism, the great reset. Now, this is national TV. This isn't some little cable station somewhere, some kind of cable network. These are talking heads and leaders of nations. They're calling for these things, and they're brazen in it, and they're boldly proclaiming these things must come to be. The world is being nurtured for this coming world leader. The only thing between us and the Antichrist is the rapture of the church. You do know that Jesus is coming again. It is a major doctrine in the Bible. You may not like it, but that's the way it is. You realize that every letter that Paul wrote, it was one of the themes. Jesus is coming again. Peter, when he wrote his letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, Jesus is coming again. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all spoke of the second coming of Christ. Of course, John spoke wrote the book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 2nd, and 3rd John, the synoptic gospel of John. He spoke of the soon return of Christ. We understand this, one in every 25 verses in the Bible. So every time Paul wrote a letter, he included, Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. And the reason is just to prepare the church. We're not to be caught unawares. We're to be a people, and we are right at the end of this exciting time called the church age. We are right at the end of the 2,000 years, and Jesus is going to take us home. We know that. I preached all over that, 6 ways till Sunday. The next thing that will happen after that, enter a world leader that is going to promise peace, and of course, he'll not be able to deliver that peace. Everything that is happening is nurturing his appearance. The church is to get ready, and the church is to reach the lost. I'm going to end with that at the end of the message. April 15th at 9:51 a.m. this last year, CNN reported that the UN Security Council is ready and waiting for a world leader. The EU chief said that the EU is upside down and is in desperate need of leadership. The EU said, we are looking for a leader, be he man or beast, I quote that, we will follow him. Right now, with a bated breath, if you watch the news, they're all so afraid of World War III and what is going to happen if nuclear weapons break out. And I'm telling you, all of this, everything is being nurtured. Everything's going to be nurtured. The church is going to be raptured, and then it's going to enter the president of the world, the prime minister of the world. I'm bold enough to say this morning, I believe he knows who he is, and I believe he knows what his purpose is. And I believe he's alive and well on the planet Earth today. Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel in chapter 8. Daniel in chapter 8 and verse 15. What I don't want to do this morning is exalt the Antichrist. What I don't want to do this morning is give some kind of platform in somebody's thinking for the devil, for Lucifer, for Beelzebub, the prince of darkness. I do want to share these facts with you, these Bible texts with you. And I want to exalt Jesus Christ in this, because the Antichrist will be a phony. He will be a counterfeit. He will be the great pretender, the great deceiver. But I do want you to know there is the real McCoy, and I say that reverently. There is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There is the great I Am, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And after the rapture, when he comes back during Armageddon, it will be his vesture will be dipped in blood, and on his thigh will be written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is the real God of heaven, the great I Am. Well, you got to remember, so everything we're reading this morning, it's the devil trying to take over this world and trying with the prince of darkness is trying to do what he cannot do, but he's trying to become God, just like he did in ancient history. He's referred to as the King of Babylon, Lucifer, the little man, the King of fierce countenance, the willful king, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked one, the beast, the lawless one, and yes, the Antichrist. In fact, before I read Daniel, go to 1 John in chapter 2. 1 John and chapter 2, and I think verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, plural, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So there has always been those people that have the spirit of Antichrist. But I call your attention back to the beginning of that first verse, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, that Antichrist, singular, shall come. Now go back to Daniel in chapter 8 and verse 15. This can be the finest hour of the church. Pentecost must have been a wonderful day. Can you imagine being there in some of the great revivals during church history? Well, the church has known some wonderful days. But I would say to you, I would submit to you, this can be the church's finest hour. If we'll be that Philadelphia church. This morning's message, by the way, is a call to faithfulness. This morning's message is a call to prayer. It's a call to evangelism. This morning's message is a call right now in the heat of the battle. Right now at the end of the game. We're past the 2-minute warning. Right now is the time to be faithful to God. I know it. We're going to say amen this morning. We're going to have the altar call. We're going to say amen. And you're going to go back out into the darkness of the world. Even though the sun is shining today, you're going to go back out into the dark culture. And if you're not careful, you can get overwhelmed by that. I'm telling you, this can be the church's finest hour if we'll make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. It says in Daniel in chapter 8 and verse 15, and it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision. The angel Gabriel is going to explain something to Daniel here. I'll give you the preface to this. He's going to explain a vision that Daniel is going to receive. It is a vision with a double fulfillment. Antiochus Epiphanes in 167 BC, he was a foreshadow of the Antichrist. He actually pictures some of what the Antichrist is going to do. And Daniel is, this is revealed to Daniel. And he said, in the latter days, at the end of days, the man of sin is going to step forth. And he's going to call the world together. And it almost sounds like something you'd read in a novel. Man, we are seeing Bible prophecy being lived out like it's a 3D movie. We're living in it. It's like hologram, that's what they call it. It's like we're in the middle of it. You can see things just set. The stage is being set. It says in verse 16, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uri, which called and said, Gabriel, Make this man to understand the vision. That could have been the voice of God. That could have been a Christophany. That voice could be none other than Jesus Christ. Here's Daniel. His vision has started. He's here by the river, and he hears a voice saying, Gabriel, help Daniel to understand. And Gabriel scurries and does. Verse 17, so he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for the time of the end shall be the vision. End time prophecy. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. That must have been something. Just kind of set him up. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, tribulation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Medo and Persia. That's the Medo-Persian Empire after Babylon. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. That's none other than Alexander the Great. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, Alexander the Great. This is hundreds of years before Alexander the Great. Verse 22. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four generals under Alexander the Great that divided up the known world at that time. Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, a king, here he is, of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. He'll rule with a viciousness towards the end. In the beginning, he'll be the diplomat. He'll be the politician. Halfway through the tribulation, he becomes vicious, king of fierce countenance. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And I'll tell you ahead of time, before we get to Revelation 13, his power is of Satan. Not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. That's the Jews, by the way. That's during the tribulation. And through his policy, that's politics, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. That's always been the devil's problem. Isaiah chapter 14. I will be like the Most High. I will sit in the heavenlies. I will accept worship. He's wanted to be deity forever. Says, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also, that's the white horseman of the apocalypse that has a bow and no arrows. I'm giving you little gems that you could study out in other passages of scripture. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. That's a mistake. But he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted. And he goes on and he reads just a little bit more there. If you would, take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew in chapter 24 and verse 24. Say, who is this Antichrist going to be? Well, just like we don't know the day or the hour of the return of Christ, we don't know who the Antichrist is going to be. There have been many guesses in recent history, and they have, of course, been wrong. And it might be a name that we are already familiar with via the media, or it might be someone altogether different. I do know this. He will become the devil in the flesh at the middle of the tribulation. I also know this. He's an imposter. There is one King of Kings. There is none other name under heaven given among men. There is one Lion of the tribe of Judah. There is one Lily of the valley. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all and Lord of lords. The fact is, the Antichrist is an imposter. He'll not have the title Antichrist. That would be foolish. He will call himself prime minister or president, or maybe he'll come up with another term that we're not even familiar with. He'll be the great counselor. He'll be the answer man. He'll be the deliverer. He's going to tie together the kingdoms of Europe. He's going to make promises to Gog and Magog and the kings of the East. There's going to be revolution. There's going to be war during that first 3.5 years. But he's going to rule like a politician with diplomacy. No bow, no arrow in his bow. He's going to rule with smooth words. And the scripture tells us that. And he's going to deceive people with the crafts of his hands. And he's actually going to call down, he's going to have superpowers. He's going to call down fire from heaven. He's going to work the supernatural because Satan is a supernatural being compared to us. And he'll be able to deceive. And if the days weren't shortened, he'd deceive the very elect. Look what it says, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This world is about to get conned. This world is about to be bamboozled. The church is going to be raptured. They'll come up with some kind of reason for that that makes some kind of quote-unquote scientific sense. All right? And then the leader that's going to step out on the world stage, and this leader is going to bamboozle the world. He is going to con the world. Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation in chapter 13. Revelation and chapter 13. When you think of con men, can anybody compare to the Prince of Darkness? The serpent in the garden. Hath God really said? He's just all the time making sin look so good, causing people to get sucked into things that they should never be involved in, and yet they are. I understand this world leader is preparing himself, but he is going to pretend to be something he is not, because he really isn't a diplomat. He's vicious. He's the Prince of Darkness. He's going to destroy. That last 3.5 years will literally, with the plagues, with the bowls, with literally hell being split open and the demons that follow Apollyon, that follow the Antichrist, being let loose in this world, all hell will be let loose in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Literally. This world thinks it's suffering today. We think we know hard times today. We don't even begin to know. You let the supernatural enter into it. You let the devil have his way. And that's exactly what will happen that last 3.5 years. In Revelation chapter 13, we're all there. We read of the satanic trinity. Again, the devil's a counterfeit. He truly is. Say, who is the Antichrist? Well, we don't know who he is. He won't wear that ancient title of Antichrist, but we do know what he is going to be. It may be a woman, actually. We have no idea. In fact, the Bible tells us in Daniel, it infers that he's going to be perverted in his sexuality, and that could very well be. You know what? You couldn't have convinced me that a man could have be a world leader and be an open homosexual or transgender man. You couldn't have convinced me of that 10 years ago, but you could convince me of that now. Because everybody's just buying into everything. It's like Katie bar the door, you know, right? Good is evil and evil is good. And man, it's like everything is changing. That's what happens when it's a Christless society. That's what happens when you take the word of God out of a culture and out of our society. Wait till the church is gone too. Then you'll see darkness. We don't know who he is, but I believe he knows who he is, and I believe he knows what he's going to do and what his purpose is. Don't know where he's from. I do know Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, he'll be Gentile. I also believe, according to Daniel, he'll have a Jewish lineage. Maybe he'll keep that a secret. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll use that to get Israel to come into the fold. I'm not really sure. But I do know where he's actually from. He's from the pit of hell. Look what it says in Revelation in chapter 13. Verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea, that's the world, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the king of the name of blasphemy. And all of those picture world leaders, and we don't have time to go into, some of them are world leaders that have already lived, and they've come, and they've gone. There is a sixth Roman leader coming, and he is the Antichrist. And he's going to receive a mortal wound in the middle of the tribulation, and he's the sixth man, is also going to be the seventh. Let's go to Revelation in chapter 17. Let's go there. Revelation 17 and verse 12, part of next week's text. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the lamb, and the lamb shall overcome them. Oh, I wanted verse 11. The beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh, goeth into perdition. The Antichrist will be the seventh and the eighth head on that beast. The Antichrist himself will receive a mortal wound in the middle of the tribulation, and then he will be resurrected, and the whole world will stand in wonder. Great counterfeiter. Great counterfeiter. Trying to prove that he is the deliverer, by faking a resurrection. Go back to Revelation in chapter 13 again. Revelation in chapter 13. I'm going to skip a bunch. Verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. You want something interesting? This is happening all around us, and many of us, we don't even, because it's not on the news, we don't know anything about it. You know, there's a new statue, relatively new, put in front of the UN building. It's there today. Let me read just a little bit of this article. New UN sculpture resembles end-time beast described in Revelation. A new giant statue installed outside the United Nations headquarters in Manhattan, New York, is being likened unto the end-times beast described in Revelation 13:2. A guardian for international peace and security sits on the visitor's plaza outside the UN headquarters. The guardian is a fusion of a jaguar and an eagle. Isn't that interesting? Two beasts recorded in the book of Revelation are said to symbolize political power and were described with leopard-like features. I wonder where they got the idea. What is the purpose of having a beast that doesn't really exist in the front of the UN? I am telling you, remember what I said last week? And it sounded kind of bold, and it sounded actually kind of carnal because it's talking about gambling. I'm telling you again this morning, if I was a gambling man, I wouldn't gamble that Jesus is coming in 10 years. I would gamble he's coming this year. I mean, that's where my money would be. I'm not a gambling man. And this is not a conspiracy theory. Next week, what I'm going to preach is going to sound like a bunch of conspiracy theories. But I guarantee you, what I'm going to preach is right out of the Bible. And people read into it too much sometimes. I agree with that. But the fact is, we know that Jesus is coming very, very soon. These are things that are happening right now in our lifetime. Let me read verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and a deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered at the beast. That's his resurrection. Let me skip ahead, because I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Look at verses 12 and 14. And he exerciseth all power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwelleth therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Verse 14, and he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make up an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So here's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to rise. He's going to step on the world platform. He is coming right from the very pit of hell, probably by way of some European country, maybe with a Jewish heritage. And those are all things that are just kind of hinted towards. I don't know that for sure, but I know he's coming right from the pit. He'll be a human being. He knows who he is and what he's called to do. And he's going to give himself over to the devil and be completely possessed by Satan in that last 3.5 years. Also, he's going to fake that resurrection. I already read chapter 17 and verse 11. And we just read Revelation chapter 13 and verses 12 and 14. And also verse 3. After that, it's going to be all about religion. We don't have time. That's next Sunday morning's message, Revelation and chapter 17. But look what it says in verse 4, chapter 13. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The devil has always been about religion. Always. I will be like the Most High. He's always desired the worship of the sons of Adam, of the crowning creation of God, mankind. He's always desired that because he knows that we were made after the image and the image of God, after the similitude of God, and we were the apple of God's eye, and they get born again. Man, Jesus loves us with all of his being. In fact, he made a way for sinners to go to heaven, and we don't deserve that. And man, it just goes down sideways with Satan. And he wants worship. And by the way, you can be a Christian and think about the devil all the time, and that is a form of preeminence. You don't need to look for the boogeyman behind every bush. You don't need to get all caught up in that. Now you need to know the times and walk circumspectly and understand that Jesus is coming soon. And I said this last week, we need to plan like he's not coming for 100 years, because that's the right thing to do, and live like he's coming this afternoon. We got a job to do. We got a job to do right now. So we need to plan like he's not coming. We got to prepare the next generation. We have to prepare the generation after that, and we got to work on our own generation. Amen. They're the lost that we need to reach. The Antichrist is going to rise. He's going to step forth. He's going to be all, he's going to fake that resurrection. He's going to rule. It's going to be the revived Roman Empire. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That's government. He's going to rule. It will be a one world government. Next Sunday morning, you are going to read that the beast is going to use the apostate church. And then in the middle of the tribulation, he casts her off his back. He's done with her. That's all the devil ever does is use people. He didn't bless anybody. He'll give you a carrot on the end of the stick. He'll bait the hook, but he'll just use you and then he'll cast you off. He'll destroy you, kick you to the curb. My Jesus isn't like that. Glory to God, he's the King of Kings. And when he comes again, after the rapture, the second time he comes, with a vesture dipped in blood, and on his thigh is written, King of Kings? Whoa, I'm going to be in that army. We're on the winning side there. I'm glad for that. He's going to rule. That'll be government. I don't have time to preach the rest of chapter 13. Verse 14 says, he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. This is the beast. This is the Antichrist. This is the satanic Trinity. And then it's his ruin. Hey, everybody look up here. There's a world leader coming. And he's a phony. He's going to con the whole world. And he's about wreck and ruin. He's about destruction. He's about self-gratification. He's the biggest narcissist that ever lived. He wants everybody to bow down and worship him, and he's going to work it. He's going to control the economy. Going to be a one world church. Going to be a one world government. How many of you 10 years ago would believe? Now, I know we believed it because we knew it was in the Bible, but you could see it only a long ways away. It ain't a long ways away. Man, you can see nations all over the world are looking for somebody, somehow. Where's the answer? He's going to step forward and say, I'm the answer. And he is not. In fact, his future is ruined. Look over at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19 verses 20 and 21. Verse 20 of chapter 19 says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. That's Jesus. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That day of Armageddon is going to be a one-sided blood to the horse's bridle slaughter. It is going to be wholesale carnage. And their leader, the beast and the false prophet, will be thrown into the lake of fire. Look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 20. And I saw an angel, single angel, come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. What an honor it'll be for that angel. The key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Great chain in his hand. This could be a day of victory. And he laid hold on the dragon. Hey, that's the devil. That is actually Lucifer. That is actually the power behind the would-be throne of the Antichrist. This is the prince of darkness. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he'll be released for a little season. Another sermon, another generation, another group of people. But the fact is, the devil loses. Jesus wins. Man, be faithful when the trumpet sounds. I'm telling you again, he's coming soon.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.